In the past few weeks, we've been talking about what distinguishes Christ followers from mere church goers. I would call them the marks of Christ's disciples. First, I talked about we put Christ first before anybody or anything else. The second mark of Christ's disciple is to realize and understand that we are living in the world, but we are not of the world. We are separate from the world, and we are not to conform to the patterns of the world, rather be transformed daily by the renewal of our mind and heart. I also talked about Christ's disciples are steadfast, immovable, because our life is built on Christ the rock. And the last Sunday I talked about we are called to serve others with humility. We fulfill God's will by serving others so that we may help them to build up their lives instead of tear it down. And today I'm going to talk about another characteristic of Christ's follower, that is to give generously. Now think with me, today in America, the average believer has a very poor attitude towards giving to the Lord, if not negative, due to their poor understanding on giving. I want to change that perspective today on giving with my sermon this morning. Now, before I proceed, though, I want to make very clear one thing. I'm not doing this sermon because our congregation needs more money. In fact, I'm glad that I talk about this topic when our church is in a good financial shape. As you can see at the back of the bulletin, we are ahead of our schedule, and we are actually doing far better than at the same time last year. So I give thanks to God for his provision of what we need, but I also thank you in person for your generosity in your giving. Let me repeat, I'm not doing this message to ask for more money from you. And that's not my intention this morning. Rather, the purpose of the sermon is to help every one of us here this morning to understand how critical the giving is in our life as Christ's follower. Show me a person who is a genuine disciple of Christ, and then I'll show you a person who is very liberal and generous in giving. I'm not talking about necessarily the absolute amount of the check that you present to the Lord. Rather, I'm talking about liberality and generosity in the proportion to the income. No matter how we put it, the level of the commitment in giving gives away the depth of our faith and commitment to the Lord. Remember what Jesus said, where your money is, there's your heart. I also believe that young Christians must learn how to give to the Lord in their early years as they grow in faith. The earlier is the better. The longer you wait, it becomes harder to give to the Lord. And I remember, I'm glad that my daughter Sarah is not here. It would embarrass her a little bit. In my family, we started early, giving allowances, monthly allowance to my daughter. I think we started around 11 or 12 years old. About 12 years ago, we started giving $20 for monthly allowances. Whatever she desires to spend, so be it. So she did it. But then what we did is that we taught her to give 10% of her income. $20, $2, what a big deal. She was starting doing it. And she's been doing it since, for the past 12 years. And we also read the Proverbs 3:9 says that honor the Lord from, it says that from your wealth, but the original Hebrew says that with your first fruit. So when she first got her job, full-time job, she did give the first month of paycheck, entire paycheck to the Lord. And I think she's on the right path. The reason why we encourage the young folks to learn this way is that I think it's every parent's wish that their, you know, kids would be financially independent and well supported, you know, well provided. And if you want that, you got to teach your young kids according to what the Bible says. Okay? Anyway, let me move on. The life of a faithful giver must begin with a sound understanding on giving. Now, the scripture clearly commands us to give generously to the Lord. When it comes down to giving, I've been practicing it for 40 years. I'm a very practical person. I always test whether it works or not. If it doesn't work, I figure out why it doesn't work and so on. And I've been practicing this giving for 40 years in my Christian life. And from the day when I gave my first tithe to the Lord until today, I can honestly say to anyone, my joy and the level of giving has not diminished at all. In fact, it has increased as I have grown mature in understanding of what my giving means to the Lord and to His church. But let's be honest with ourselves this morning and ask one simple question. Why do I give to the Lord? Why do I give to the Lord? If someone comes to you and asks, oh, I know you go to church and you give offerings to the Lord, and why do you give? And how do you answer it? And here are some possible answers to the question I came up with. Some folks give tithes to the Lord simply because God commands them so. In Malachi chapter 3, bring your tithes to my house, the Bible says. They don't think twice. They don't ask why. They just do it because God commands them so. I'm one of them, actually. And there are other people who give to the Lord because they love the Lord. There are more others give to the Lord because they want to support God's church to advance God's kingdom here on earth. There are many more others give, convinced that giving is a good thing. It's a good thing to share God's blessings with others, right? And more, all of us believe that giving is good because whenever we give, we feel good about ourselves. After all, isn't Jesus saying, giving is more blessed than receiving? We give. Now, I thought I have listed all the possible reasons for giving to the Lord. Well, until I read today's text, Proverbs 3:9. It offers one more excellent aspect of giving that very few of us are aware of. Did you know that giving is an act of honoring the Lord? Let me repeat. Giving is an act of honoring the Lord. In other words, each time we give to the Lord, we obey His command, and each time we obey His command, we honor God. Now please stay with me as I continue unpacking the verse, Proverbs, you know, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. If you look at the verb, it begins with honor the Lord. Begins with a verb, which is an imperative, which is a command. It is not a suggestion or an option. The Lord Jehovah God commands us to honor Him with our offerings. I also mind you, I mean, this giving also, we tend to think that giving is more than just money, but in this case, it's specifically in the, you know, monetary sense. Not time or talents, although we, you know, say that. This special context is about the money. Now, this command is not just for a few godly people. It is a command for all God's people. Rich and poor and male and female and old and young and baby Christians and even mature ones. It is even given to those who live paycheck to paycheck. It is for everyone who confesses his or her faith in Christ. We are called to honor God with our giving to the Lord. Now, reason with me about the meaning of Hebrew verb to honor. The Hebrew verb to honor is called kabod. Yes, that's the same verb used in the context of, in the fifth commandment of Moses, honor your father and mother. Same verb, kabod. The root of the verb kavod, honor, carries the meaning of glorifying someone. In this case, of course, God. To honor God means, therefore, to glorify God, and to glorify God means to make Him pleased with and make Him proud of what you do. In this context, with your giving. Now, simply put, do you want to honor and glorify God in your life? Then take giving seriously. Now, here's an analogy that I'd like to use. We are called to honor God with our giving, I said. Like the athletes honor their mother countries by winning medals in the Olympic Games. I'm sure most of us have watched at least once or twice on TV the late, you know, Winter Olympics in Sochi. Especially the medal ceremony. Each time I look at it, always touches my heart. As the winners stand on the stand, medals and flowers are presented to them, and the national anthem of the gold medalist is played as her national flag is being hoisted. Often the camera zooms in on the face of the winner, and we see the winner's eyes welled up with joy and pride, and some of them actually cry. And in that very moment, the gold medalist emotions are flooded and overflowing with what? Pride. Why? Because she just has honored her country. That's the meaning of honoring and glorifying. As the winners honor their mother countries with medals, we too, the believers in Christ, honor our Heavenly Father with our giving. Very seldom, though, we think or practice that way. On any given Sunday, let me tell you, many of us just drop the offering envelopes in the plates or a few dollars in the plates without any thoughts. That's what we do. So next time, as you give offerings to the Lord, I want you to remember that you are honoring the Lord with your giving. Do it so with pride and joy. Giving is an act of honoring the Lord. Now, there's another advantage of liberal, generous giving, too. When we give generously to the Lord, what happens to us is that it opens wide the door of opportunity to experience the living God in an unforgettable ways. Unforgettable ways. The more sacrificially you give to the Lord, the higher chance that you have to encounter God, who not only knows your needs, but also provides them according to his riches. I want you to imagine two individuals this morning in your mind. First one I would call Mr. Stinge, S-T-I-N-G-Y. And the second one, Mrs. Generous. Mr. Stinge claims that he is a believer in Jesus, and each time he goes to church, he drops a couple of dollars in the offering. It's not that he doesn't have money. On the contrary, he has plenty of money to live comfortably for the rest of his life. Over $1 million, for example, in his bank accounts. Yet he doesn't believe that he has enough. And most of the time, he doesn't feel any need of God. Thinking, why would I need God when I am well taken care of by money that I have? Personally, I believe that is the biggest tragedy and curse on the wealthy. Not realizing the need of God in their lives. And such a lifestyle deprives him of the chance to meet the living God in person. Now, let's think about Mrs. Generous this time. She lives paycheck to paycheck. Many a time she feels that she has no money to spare, let alone give to God. Yet somehow she decides to give anyway to the Lord. I can tell you what's going to happen to her. She will not starve to death. I believe she will definitely meet the living God in an unforgettable way. Now, here's one person who just did that. After honoring God with his sacrificial giving, he experienced the living God in an unforgettable way. His name is Brother Andrew. And I'm not sure whether he's still alive or not, but he was very active during the 1960s and 70s and 80s. You know, his organization worked for the smuggling the Bibles to the Christians, underground Christians in the communist countries. during the Iron Curtain era. Now, before he started his public ministry to smuggle the Bibles, and what he did is that he attended the mission school somewhere in England. So when he's done with the schooling, then they're about to, you know, send him to the mission field. So it was the day, the last day, when he was supposed to register for the next semester with the payment for the tuition. And he just barely had enough money to, you know, pay for the tuition for next semester. So he was on his way, let's say around 4 o'clock, the office closes at 5, he was on his way to the registrar's office, right? With the money in his pocket. And, you know, just about 10, 20 yards away, he saw another man walking toward him. And he realized, he recognized him immediately. His friend of his, let's call him Tom. Tom happened to be a homeless. And as soon as Andrew saw Tom, Andrew realized that, uh-oh, I know why he's coming to me. So after, you know, shaking hands and a few pleasantries, and Tom got on his business. Oh, by the way, Andrew, can I borrow some money from you? Well, Andrew thought for a second, and he just grabbed the money from his pocket and gave everything to Tom. Because he believes that when Jesus says in the Bible, when someone asks for money, do not refuse. So he just going with his conviction that gave everything. So of course, Tom profusely thanked him and walked away with the money. So Brother Andrew walking toward his back to his dormitory, and he was sitting in the dormitory room for a few minutes and wondering, what's going to happen to me starting tomorrow? And then there was a knock at the door, and there's mail for you. So he just received an envelope. He opened it. It was from the anonymous person. He never met this stranger. And basically the letter says, I heard about your, you know, about to go into the mission field, and there's a little token of my support. A check enclosed. When he just looked at the amount, guess what? The same amount that he gave to his friend, and same amount that he needed for his next semester tuition. Now imagine this. I mean, he didn't have to. Had he not given away the money to his friend that afternoon, I'm sure he would, you know, have continued on his walk with God. Yet he would have definitely missed a great opportunity to know such an awesome God. Never would he have learned to totally rely on God for his finances. Liberal giving allows us to meet the living God in an unforgettable way. Now there's one more thing I need to say, the very important aspect of giving to the Lord. That is, any type of giving to the Lord ought to be acceptable to God. We must give Him the best of all, because God always looks into the heart of the giver, and the giver's heart must be right with God in every giving. It is true, as we read this morning in verse 10, God promises, if you honor me with your offerings, and I'll fill your barns with plenty. That's the promise. However, blessings itself cannot be and must not be the main reason why we give to the Lord. The wealth and the motive of becoming rich is never the purpose of our giving. It cannot be the ulterior motive for our giving to the Lord. For example, I want to live in a mansion, so I give to the Lord. Wrong. I want to drive a Rolls Royce, so I give 10% of my income to the Lord. Wrong. I want to win the $20 million from the lottery, so I promise to God that if I win, I'll give the half of my winning. Wrong. You never use your giving as bait for more returns from God, and giving is not a way of fattening your portfolio either. Many years ago, I mean, about 20-some years ago, I was in Michigan serving a church, and one afternoon, I was attending a church finance workshop. We brought a speaker, and the speaker did his presentation, and during the question and answer session, and one lady raised her hand, and basically she complained to the speaker about the church that she attended. She says, I offered my you know, just half of my winning of the lottery if I win, she said. But the church says, no, we don't want that. And she was upset. Why did they refuse my offer? And the speaker said, I have no problem. Bring the money to me and I can use it. You know, at the time I had to defer with the speaker on this because such a donation lacks righteousness in the sight of God. It is wrong as accepting donations from a pimp who keeps his business going while he gives a regular donation to the church out of his guilt. Every type of giving to God must be in sync with God's righteousness. I say so because the scripture says so. Now here's why. You know, the way I prepare my sermon, whenever I choose some text, I read several times, as the same translation. Then I go into the several different translations. Is there any difference in terms of translations? And one of the things that I did in preparation of this sermon is that I looked up the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament scripture, and then I looked another Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. It is called the Septuagint Bible. It's a Greek name, Septuagint, means 70, 70. 70 scholars, they gathered together before Christ was born, and they translated the entire Hebrew scripture into Greek. That's the called Septuagint Bible. When I was reading the same text in the Septuagint Greek Bible, I was surprised to see how they printed this. Listen, this is how it is translated. Honor the Lord from your righteous labor / hard works, and from the first fruits of righteousness. It's a Hebrew literary technique. If you want to emphasize one thing, they always repeat twice and in different ways. But pay attention to the word righteousness, though. Honor the Lord from your righteous labor and hard works and from the first fruits of righteousness. The key is righteousness. Why lottery earnings and gamblings are never before and honorable before the Lord? Because they fail the litmus test of righteous labor and hard works. That's why. So do the donations through prostitution from the pimp. Those monies extorted from innocent victims, meaning the women work for that, are never right with God. And one more thing quickly and I'll be done. In the second verse printed in your bulletin, 1 Corinthians 9, Paul the Apostle briefly points out the eternal spiritual truth. Whatever we sow and however we sow, we will reap accordingly. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Don't expect otherwise. Everything we do and say and everything we give to the Lord, we will harvest in the day of the Lord. Paul also points out a right attitude in our giving. Give it cheerfully, not reluctantly or under compulsion, and give it from your heart. So this is an action point I want everyone to take away today. Starting today, in a few minutes, you're going to give offering to the Lord. As you drop each Sunday your offerings in the plates, remind yourself saying, Lord, I am honoring you today by giving this offering to you. With this offering, I honor you today. This is my best, and it is from my heart, and may it be acceptable in your sight. Let's bow our heads and pray.